a few weeks ago, and she said, "Daddy, I had the opportunity to lead seven girls to the Lord this weekend." And so God is using her even there as she's training for the work of the Lord. And I love that song, Living for Jesus. You know what I found out? That when you serve the Lord for Jesus' sake, when you sing in the choir for Jesus' sake, when you teach a class for Jesus' sake, when you serve in the nursery for Jesus' sake, that nobody else can keep you from it, because you're not doing it for how anyone else treats you. You're doing it to the Lord, for the Lord, not for a response from anybody else. You're not looking for it. If you got your eyes on man, guess what's going to happen? You'll be disappointed. And so just live for Jesus. He'll never let you down. Tonight again, Brother Gene Sharp, we love him. He's a wonderful friend of the ministry. I know that he's your friend. You pray for him. Brother Gene, you're amongst friends. Open the Word of God to us tonight, if you would.
Well, as we wrap things up here, it's hard to believe that this is the end of the deal here. It sure did go by quickly. Missions Conference 2007 here at the Freeway Baptist Church. I've gone away. I'm going to be going away refreshed and filled with the fellowship and with the special music, with all that goes around and with Missions Conference. And we sure have appreciated sharing some time with you folks. It's been a little bit of time since we've been here. And it's been a joy to spend some time reacquainting ourselves with you folks. And we sure do love you. We sure do appreciate you. And it renews and inspires in us the sense that we're being prayed for. And we know and can realize that when we're walking in many of these places. Some of them are very dark spiritually and even dark physically from time to time, as far as the overwhelming circumstances. Some of these places are not very hospitable. But when we walk in those places, having the confidence that folks like Freeway are praying for us, it makes all the difference in the world. And we sure appreciate that. Turn your Bibles to Acts chapter 20, if you will, this evening. Acts chapter 20. Tonight we're going to be looking at something the Apostle Paul talks about. We're going to kind of go back to the basics, if you will. The first missionary, as we would probably term missionaries in the Bible, was the Apostle Paul. And what was his view of the ministry? You know, we'd do well if we'd get back a little bit to the basics and get back to what the Bible's view is of things. Sometimes things morph in our day and age and things change. And I want to just take a quick glance tonight at a snapshot of what Paul said the ministry really is. What Paul said missionary work truly is. And let's go back to that, and let's gauge our lives and say, you know what? What am I doing to kind of fit into that scheme? What am I doing? What part of the puzzle do I play? And am I reflecting that in my life? And I'd like to challenge you to plug yourself into the Great Commission right here. The Freeway Baptist Church is part of the Great Commission. Not only are you sending, but you are preaching right here. You know, this isn't Jerusalem. So you know what? This is part of the Samaria and the uttermost that the Bible is talking about. In a very real sense, this is an action and a reaction to the Great Commission. This church, this gospel preaching outlet here in the Valley of the Sun. And let's look tonight at what the Apostle Paul has to say. Acts chapter 20. Let's look in verse 18. Acts chapter 20. And verse 18. Here the Word of God records for us. "And when they were come to him, he said unto them, Ye know, from the first day that I came into Asia, after what manner I have been with you at all seasons, serving the Lord with all humility of mind, and with many tears and temptations, which befell me by the lying in wait of the Jews. Verse 20. And how I kept back nothing that was profitable unto you, but have showed you and have taught you publicly, and that from house to house, testifying both to Jews and to the Greeks, repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. And now, behold, I go bound in the Spirit unto Jerusalem, not knowing the things that shall befall me there, save that the Holy Ghost witnesseth in every city, saying that bonds and afflictions abide in me. But none of these things move me, neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy, and the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus, to testify the gospel of the grace of God. And now, behold, I know that ye all, among whom I have gone preaching the kingdom of God, shall see my face no more. Wherefore, I take you to record this day that I am pure from the blood of all men. Father in heaven, thank you for this day and this opportunity again, once more, to gather and to open your word. And Lord, your word tells us that if two or three are gathered together in my name, that you're here in the midst. And Lord, we claim that promise and we rejoice in that fact, knowing that you're among us. But Lord, we don't want to quench your spirit. We want to embrace what you'd have to do in our hearts. And so, Lord, we come now and we set aside all of the thoughts that are in our mind. Lord, we set aside all of our schedules and what we have to do this week. We're going to set it all to the side by your grace tonight and ask that you would meet with us and somehow bless this time of preaching. I pray that you'd cleanse me, fill me, and use me tonight. Make me a blessing to these dear folks here at Freeway Baptist Church. And Lord, I pray that for eternity's sake and for your honor and glory, that you'd work a work among us tonight and in our hearts and challenge us, Lord, for the ministry. In Jesus' name, amen. Paul's view of the ministry. You know, the ministry can be termed and understood to be a lot of different things. But again, we're going to go back to the root. We're going to go back to the basis and back to the basics of what the Apostle Paul describes the ministry as being. And he kind of gives a testimony here this evening of what his view of the ministry really is. And I ask you, are you plugged into any facet of this ministry tonight? First off, let's look at what his view of the ministry was all about. In verse 18 and verse 19, the Apostle Paul describes ministry as simply service to God. Service to God. And then when they were come to him, they said unto him, verse 18, ye know, from the first day that I came into Asia, what manner I have been with you at all seasons. He said, it's no secret how I've acted among you. And then in verse 19, he says, serving the Lord with all humility of mind. You know, if the Apostle Paul were alive today, we'd probably have him preaching the big circuit. And he'd be in every big church and every big conference. And he'd probably have a couple books written to his name. And men would tend to lift him up. But you know what? As with most good preachers, Paul's opinion of himself was not high. I am the Archbishop of all Baptist churches. He didn't say that. His idea of himself wasn't high and mighty, wasn't the big dog. His idea of himself was he was simply a servant of the Lord. You know, it would probably do us well if we'd have that same opinion of ourselves. And in our ministry, and regarding missions, and regarding our service to the Lord, let's not try and be big cheeses, as it were. Let's try and just be a servant serving the Lord. And you know what? That'll solve 95% of all problems, intra-church problems. When we think we're a big cheese, we're going to be, well, who do they think they are talking to me? Because I am the assistant to the director of the junior church choir. And I got the certificate to prove it. And they can't talk to me that way because I am the assistant to the director of the junior church choir. Amen? And we kind of tend to be title-oriented. And we kind of tend to be position-motivated. And all that is, my friend, is pride creeping in. But let's look to Paul's view of the ministry and his example that he set forth for us. Again, let me remind you, this is the man who wrote the majority of the New Testament. This is the man who we get our church polity from, his writings and how the Lord inspired, of course, his word through this man. He was a great man, the first, quote-unquote, missionary of our New Testament. This mighty man was a servant of God. He says in verse 19, serving the Lord with all humility. He repeats it several other times. Look over in Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1 tonight. Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated unto the gospel of God. A servant of Jesus Christ. He also talks about he was the least of all apostles and not meet to be called an apostle. Look over in Galatians, if you will, tonight. Galatians chapter 1 and verse 10. Galatians chapter 1 and verse 10. He says, For do I now persuade men or God? Do I seek to please men? For if I please men, I should not be the servant of Christ. Paul's view of himself, he was not the big guy on the block. He was not the chiefest of anything except the chiefest of sinners. He was indeed a servant of Christ. Paul's view of the ministry, an example for us here at Freeway Baptist Church, an example for missionaries all around the world, his view of the ministry. How did he view himself? He viewed himself very simply as a servant of Christ. You know, that'll keep us in line all throughout our life. If we're the servant of Christ, who are we going to take our orders from? Christ. If we're the servant of Christ, who are we going to try and please with our every waking moment? Christ. Really, a servant is not going to take care of his own business first. He's going to take care of his master's business first. Sometimes we get caught up in that, don't we? We're taking care of number one, first on the list every time, and we're trying to please ourselves and please our flesh. We've forgotten who we are. We're the servants of Christ. We should be pleasing Him every waking moment. We should be seeking His will and His happiness and His pleasure. For really, indeed, that is what we were created for. All things on this earth were created for His pleasure. All things on this earth were created to fulfill the will of God. Paul's vision for the ministry included this fact, service to God. Let's determine this year, regarding missions, regarding serving the Lord at the Freeway Baptist Church, that we are going to serve the Lord. And you know what? I like what the Bible says and echoes throughout the pages of Scripture. Serve the Lord with gladness. It's a great thing to serve the Lord, but it's an even greater thing to serve the Lord with gladness. You can serve the Lord and be a grouch. You know, I've done it a couple of times. You know, away from me, I'm serving God. Can't you see I'm doing something? I'm trying to win the world here. Come on. And we could do that. But how much better would it be if we serve the Lord with gladness? If our zeal and our contentment and our satisfaction with our Savior would be evident and radiant about our face and in our song and in our step as we would serve the Lord and go about doing His business. Service to God was included in Paul's view of the ministry. Secondly, this evening, and I won't be long, I know there's a lot of things going on and we've got a few more things to take care of. I know it's been a long week, but secondly, I've only got 42 points. Secondly, Paul's view of the ministry included strengthening the brethren. Strengthening the brethren. Look in verse 20. Acts chapter 20 and verse 20. And this is Paul talking about the ministry. He says, "And how I kept back nothing that was profitable unto you, but have showed you and have taught you publicly and from house to house." Paul's idea was to edify the saints, to build up the church, to strengthen, if you will, the brethren. And you know what? Sometimes we can get so caught up with ministry that we forget those around us in ministering to the brethren. You know, it is said that the world will know that we're Christians by the love that we have one for another. The Bible talks about love all the time, and it says we are to love one another with a pure heart fervently. Can you imagine that usage of word fervent love? It's not casual. It's not love on accident. It's not love when it's convenient. It's fervent. You see people in sporting events all the time that have a fervency and they have an intensity and you can tell they're on edge. They're ready to go. And then you can see people that are lackadaisical. Can you say the NBA all the way until the playoffs? Except Brother Nash. You know what I'm saying? You can see a difference. You can see a difference in styles of play. And when somebody is fervent, they're doing things on purpose. They're doing things with a measure of intensity that you know is going to get the job done. It's going to get something done. Something's going to happen. And you better just get on the train with us because we're going forward. That's how we're supposed to love each other. We're supposed to minister one to another. And we're supposed to, as Paul's view of the ministry was, we're supposed to strengthen the brethren. I love that word edify. The Bible uses it over and over again. And edify really means to build up. And what is a building called? It's an edifice. And it's something that has been built line upon line, precept upon precept, block upon block. And this is an edifice. And you know what? We would do well to be trying to put good raw materials from the Word of God in the lives of those around us. Have you ever, you know what I'm talking about? Do you come to church in ministry mode? Sometimes we come to church in vacation mode. Like, yeah, make me laugh, preacher. I'm here. You know what I'm saying? Oh, that was a good one. Oh, man, his hair is horrible today. Oh my. Look at that guy doing the offering. He's combing his hair. You know, and when we're coming in the entertainment mode. Please me. Make me happy. Make me laugh. And again, it's all entertaining ourselves. Or do we look in ministry mode? And we're coming, boy, looks like Brother Bert was down today. I'm gonna grab Brother Bert, and I'm not going to make a big show. I'm going to say, listen, brother, I'm praying for you. Let's pray right now. And minister and edify and strengthen the brethren. You know how crummy of a week you've had this week? There's probably a whole lot of people in the room that had the same kind of week. Why don't you try and cheer them up? And you know what? If you help somebody to the top of the mountain, you'll reach the top yourself. Strengthen the brethren. This is truly the work of the ministry. In Paul's view of the ministry, he included himself as a servant of Christ. He wasn't Dr. Big Cheese. He was a servant of Christ who was strengthening the brethren. And of course, the Apostle Paul, the great missionary, he was seeking sinners. Thirdly tonight, he was seeking sinners. Look in verse 21, testifying both to the Jews and also to the Greeks. What did he testify? He said, listen, I'm testifying this. Repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. The Apostle Paul's ministry would not have been complete if it was just us in the house of God taking care of one another. His view of the ministry was one of humility that was strengthening the brethren, but yet seeking sinners. Friend, we fall short here sometimes, don't we? Seeking sinners. You know, we don't have to seek very far here in the Valley of the Sun. I bet we pretty much could walk outside these doors and we'd be surrounded by sinners. We could go to work tomorrow morning, we'd be surrounded by sinners. We could take some time with our family and we would be inundated with sinners. Friends, sinners are all around us. Are we seeking them as the Apostle Paul did? And are we testifying them repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ? Look over at the Great Commission, Matthew chapter 28. The Apostle Paul was motivated to fulfill this command from Christ. And Jesus came, verse 18, Matthew 28, verse 18. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Truly, this is a great commission. It's great for a lot of reasons, but one of the reasons it's a great commission because of who gave it. Here's some marching orders from the Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ. He tells us to go and to preach and to baptize and to teach. And that carries weight in our lives. That carries significance for us because of who gave that. The great Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ, gave that commission to us. The Great Commission is worth obeying because it's a great commission because of who gave it. It's great because of the message that we share. We share in this commission the message of eternal life. That's what excites me when I'm soldering wires together, when I'm connecting pieces of equipment, when I'm running a wire to the transmitter, when I'm hooking up the transmitter. What really excites me is I know that those wires and those pieces of equipment are going to be carrying this message, the message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And my friend, we ought to be excited that we, just as that wire, we also get to be a part of that chain, of that air chain, if you will, of bringing that message from God, from the heart of God, to those who need it. And friend, the Great Commission is great, not only because of who gave it, but because of the message that we share. We share the good news that Jesus saves. And you know what? Paul's view of the ministry included seeking sinners. I wonder, what's your ministry philosophy this evening? What's your philosophy? Is your philosophy, well, I'll seek sinners by proxy. I'll write the check, you seek the sinners. And that's part of it. You know, we have to have that cooperation. But my friends, that doesn't relieve us of all duty. Because while I'm seeking sinners in Rwanda coming up in the next 6 months, who's going to be seeking sinners at your place of work? You're going to write a check to somebody who's going to help you at work? Here, you're my personal soul winner. And you write a check to Mrs. Chapel and she's going to come to work with you every day and witness for you. But my friends, that's silly, of course. But we need to focus in on the Great Commission and focus in on the proper view of ministry. The Great Commission is great because of who gave it. The Great Commission is great because of the message that we share. And of course, the Great Commission is great because of the power that is promised. All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. And then he promises with that power to be close by. You know, it's kind of when you have a big brother and you get in a fight, you say, like my brother's name was George. George! And if he wasn't close by, it didn't matter that he was 6'4", 200 pounds when he was 18 years old. If he was way far away, it didn't matter to me. I could call for George all day long. I was still going to get the fire beat out of me by my friends. But if George was close by And I called his name. That made all the difference in the world. You know what? Not only is all power given unto the Lord Jesus Christ in heaven and in earth, but he says, lo, I am with you always. He's close by. He's close by. As we carry the Great Commission, don't fear. It's his message. Don't fear. Don't fear their faces. Don't be scared of what they're going to think. It really won't matter in light of eternity. Let's continue to share the gospel because we're empowered by him. What a great commission it is, isn't it? It's great because of who gave it this evening. It's great because of the message that we share. And it's great because of the promise and of the power that he affords us when we are actively seeking sinners. This view of the ministry of the Apostle Paul, of course, to reiterate, it includes service to God. It includes strengthening the brethren. It includes tonight seeking sinners. And lastly, we don't like to talk about this very much, but it includes sacrificing himself. The Apostle Paul's view of the ministry, the first missionary, we're going back to the basics tonight, the first guy who was doing the work of the Lord, said, listen, my work for God includes sacrificing myself, my goals, my desires, my conveniences. It involves sacrifice. Look over in Acts chapter 20 and verse 24. He says, but none of these things move me, neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy in the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of the grace of God. He says, neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course, so I might finish the ministry that God gave to me. It's hard to embrace for Americans that we might have to sacrifice. It's hard for us to imagine the concept that we might be inconvenienced in order to fulfill God's plan for our life. But know this, when we do obey and when we do sacrifice ourselves, we can be assured of the joy of the Lord. We can be assured of God's blessing in our life. We can be assured that we know that we have the joy because we are obeying what he's called us to do. Paul's view of the ministry, four simple things tonight. And I ask you, what is your view of the ministry? When it comes time for pastor to ask for volunteers, my schedule will be inconvenienced. I've got to do this. And well, maybe it would be good for us to sacrifice our schedule a little bit and put others first. Maybe it would be good for us to, you know what? I had plans on doing this with my life. But you know what? That's all on hold for now because God has opened this door in my life. You know what? I've seen people do that all of the time. Our pastor was a great man of God, has been preaching at our church 34 years. And was headed to a career in professional baseball. He was scouted by the Reds and the Phillies and was going to do that, but God had other plans for him. He set aside the plans to become successful in the eyes of the world. I don't know if he ever would have made the major leagues or not, but in addition to that, he was a great salesman and he was making all kinds of good money. He set aside his career and sacrificed some major cash in the day and served the Lord. And I can tell you today, I'm so glad that our pastor did that. Because when I was 12 years old and my father was 49 years old, Pastor James Lewis led my daddy to the Lord. I'm so glad he sacrificed. I'm so glad he put his career on the back burner and chose God's way and chose God's ministry. I'm so glad he made that sacrifice for the sake of my family, for the sake of my father, for the sake of eternity. I wonder, friend, are we today making those same kinds of sacrifices? You know, we can live off the sacrifices of others for a long time, but it comes a time in our life, in our ministry, we need to sacrifice ourselves for the work of the Lord. We need to sacrifice our plans and our goals and our conveniences to see God's work go forward, to see our families go forward. You ever see somebody, it's pretty obvious sometimes where you see a dad, and he's not yet kind of gotten the whole idea and concept that he's a dad, and he's still spending money on himself and never spending any time with his family, and, you know, buying four-wheelers, and he goes out and spends his paycheck on fireworks, and you know, and he goes out with his buddies, and you're like, what in the world? He haven't gotten the concept. He hasn't sacrificed any of his own time for his family. And his family suffers for it, don't they? You know, we need to make sure that isn't us today. Let's not be that way with the work of the Lord. And, you know, we could be Christians who, well, man, I've got my fire insurance policy. I'm going to heaven. Let's have a good time. And, I know you need volunteers for missions conference, but, you know, I'm having a good time. I'm going to heaven. And, you know, I know I want those other people to go, but I'm just busy. And we could go on living our life in the full assurance that heaven is our home, but really being guilty of the sin of the desert. And the sin of the desert is simply this: knowing where the water is and not telling anybody else. Let's not be guilty of that sin. Let's not be guilty of knowing where the water is and not telling those around us, and not being willing to sacrifice a little bit of our own to share with those around us. Paul's view of the ministry, he viewed himself as the servant of God. What's your view of the ministry, my friend? He viewed himself as someone who was to be strengthening the brethren and kind of rallying the troops all the time in ministry mode, helping those around him, ministering to the needs and the wants, loving one another fervently with a pure heart. His view of the ministry included seeking sinners, fulfilling that great commission. And then, of course, his view of the ministry involved the inconvenient truth of sacrificing himself. Paul's view of the ministry. Is it our view of the ministry? How do you view the work of God? How do you view what God's called you to do? You know what? You may be here tonight and say, you know what? What do you mean God's called me to do? That's just it. God has a plan for you. And part of His plan involves you plugging yourself into an area of this ministry. If you don't even know what that is tonight, make the night and say, you know, God, I don't know what you want me to do, but I'm willing. Where do you want me to go? What do you want me to do? And then maybe have a conversation with Pastor to go something like this. Pastor, you know, I haven't been doing much. I've been coming. I'm fairly new here, or I've been here a long time, and I don't feel that I'm involved as I should be. Where do you want me to go? What do you want me to do? And you know what? I guarantee after Pastor picks himself up off the floor and wipes the dust off his suit, he'll say, well, I've got just the place for you. Or he'll say, give me a week to pray about it. Or perhaps even better yet, pastors love this kind of stuff. You come to the pastor and say, you know, Pastor, I've got an idea for a new ministry. And I want you to know it's not going to cost the church a dime, and I'm going to head it up. And come to him with some new ideas and plug yourself in where God wants you to do that. And make sure as you plug yourself in, you're not zibbing cheese, that you're a servant of God. Make sure as you plug yourself in, you're aware of those around you and you're strengthening the brethren. Make sure that your ministry has at its core function seeking the lost. And make sure in your ministry that you involve yourself with, that you're willing to sacrifice yourself, your time, your talent, and your treasure for the glory of God. Pastor.
What a great message tonight. I trust that Paul's view of the ministry